Yeah. I'm right back at it with my brother Jay Dutch. Fresh new trash for the family, what the fuck? My man Big Derek, but we call him old school. About to get up on the mic and straight up act school. Ain't no fiction here, cause we only talking facts. If he's talking about the bucks, he don't cut him no slack. No need to waste time, and let's get right to it. What the fuck podcast, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Yeah. About to turn it over to my man old school with the What the Buck podcast. Check it, yo. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck, man. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck.
My Homer Simpson, sorry.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you are listening now, you're listening to the What the Buck podcast. It's still alive. It still exists, even though we've taken our hiatus, as we often do during the offseason. We even came back to some technical problems because Skype sucks balls. But we fought through all of them. So you're potentially watching on Facebook. Thank you if you're listening on Mixlr. Thank you if you're listening tomorrow or later this week on the podcast. Thank you as well. We are joined by two fantastic guests. We have in studio Jason J.C. Della Torre. Jason, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Jason writes for us here at What the Buck. He does a ton of other stuff. We'll do some formal introductions. But we also have sort of a special guest on the line who helped us get through our technical challenges. My man Chris Fisher, formerly of Bucks Brief Podcast, which many of you remember to be a pretty damn good Buccaneers podcast. He now hosts a world-renowned craft beer podcast called BYOCB. I think he's coming back from a live gig on terrestrial radio. Chris Fisher, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, Chris?
Yes. It only took me 2.5 hours to get back from Orlando today.
Well, why'd you ride your bike?
Damn, I-4 traffic.
So we are here to talk about Buccaneers free agency, the offseason, all of that sort of stuff.
All the stuff you hate.
All the stuff that I detest, absolutely. But what's funny is, and we'll do a little bit of house cleaning, and then I know, Chris, I think you're are you still driving? Are you back home now?
No, I'm good.
Okay, good. So I didn't want to have you driving and then get mad and then drive into a bridge embankment or something. That would be awkward. And I would feel guilty for a few moments. But
make for good radio.
It would make for... No, people couldn't see it. They would just hear it. It would be like a mockumentary. It would be terrible. I do want to thank our sponsors quickly, and I wanted to do a little bit of housekeeping. And then I want to get right into what's turned into just mass hysteria in Buccaneer universe and in the NFL. So Steps Towing, Steakhouse Elite, Tito's Vodka, Don Q Rum, and Pepin Distributing are sponsors from last year. We expect all of them back this year. Steps is already back this year. Those guys help us do the things we do. I was talking to Jay. You want me to call you Jason or JC? Which one do you prefer?
Either one works.
You guys use multiple Jason's names good. Drive me nuts because I don't know what to call you. Hey, you is not good, right?
Yeah, all
right.
Jason's fine.
Jason's what we'll call you. Yeah. So Jason and I were talking earlier about what the Buck has sort of grown into here in our 13th year. We've got the website, which I do a shit job of, which is why I work with guys like Jason to make it better. We got the podcast that I also seem to do a shit job with, but people seem to like it a little bit. And then we have the tailgates, which we do a great job with, and everyone seems to enjoy. And then we have the Charitable Foundation, which we're all very proud of.
Which you do an awesome
which,
job.
Well, Cheryl does an awesome job, and Cheryl she does, keeps us all in line. But we've got our golf tournament coming up April 21st. Get out there. Please get registered. Help us out. We just did another charity event. Thanks to Car Shows for Charity, Edmore's Cadillac, Steps Towing, and all the sponsors there. We raised $13,000 in a day.
Wow.
That's going to go towards our backpack drive. Our goal this year is to do 2,000 backpacks to the kids in Hillsborough County. So huge shout out to those guys. I think that's all the housekeeping I got to do. So we have Chris on the line. We have free agency starting. We have off-season shit that everyone's upset about. The reason we call this room to order, ladies and gentlemen, is Buccaneer fans are literally going batshit crazy. Anytime a name that they have recognized because they play Madden or they saw him on news or something, or he played here, because God knows we get really, really, what's the word for it? Nostalgic, I think.
Nostalgic, yeah. Hey, Simeon Rice is coming back this year, right?
Dude, listen, the fact that was a news story last year makes my heart hurt.
Yeah.
It's not the bacon that I eat.
That
it's
tells
that's
you how
dumb.
Bad things were.
Listen, anyone who thinks that Simeon Rice could have lined up and played, never saw him play in the UFL.
Yeah.
Right? And let's not kid ourselves. He was a freakish athlete, an incredible player for the Buccaneers, an incredible player for the Cardinals. He's a physical specimen. He could kick all of our asses probably at the same time, including Chris, even though he is a dapper gentleman. He could not play in the NFL. Right. Just stop it. It's fucking fantasy.
But then again, neither could any of the Buccaneers defensive linemen either.
See, funny you say that, but they still played all those downs, yeah. right? So, yeah. And I appreciate the laugh line, but that's something we have to establish here. There seems to be this relativist scale that people will hold the Buccaneers defensive lineup, who obviously underperformed.
Right.
Right? That people think they're not NFL caliber players because the four guys who they know who play that position are really good because they watch ESPN. Right?
Yeah.
So with that, I actually want to transition a little bit to Chris, because Chris, you've been doing a great job on Twitter, even though, you know, it's like, what is that line? I try to get away and they keep pulling me back in.
Yeah. Well, I just try to fight the dodos.
Yeah, well, you know, and what's funny is, you know, we don't attack folks here. That's not our thing. But at the same time, we try and make sure we keep things real.
Yeah,
What is the trend that you're seeing? Now, we saw with Robert Quinn, this was a big deal. We missed out on Robert Quinn. No one could believe that Robert Quinn did not end up a Buccaneer. We didn't pay the money for Robert Quinn. And then we had Michael Bennett. What is your take so far in the offseason? Recap for folks who haven't read your Twitter storm. And how do you feel now with the news that Mike Evans is going to be a Buccaneer until roughly 23-18?
Yeah, exactly. Check your Mixer feed, Derek. I want to make sure you're broadcasting live, by the way, because I'm trying to pull it up and just I don't see you on air, but it could be on my end.
I think it's on your end. It shows live now. Our chat room on Mixer seems to be good, but I'll confirm that. Thank you,
sir.
Ah,
cool. It's just on my end then. So I try to break away from Twitter. I was trying to not to do the free agency type stuff, and I just kind of get pulled in when I log on and see some of the foolishness. In my opinion, it's foolishness, and I know I come off sometimes as an a-hole, and I accept that fact, but I try to be as gracious to people with their opinions as I can be. But I like to point out some things that maybe is not getting talked about on websites and talked about on podcasts and things, and I actually mentioned Robert Quinn. I got posed the question of, hey, go take a look at some, our pass rush is an issue. Go take a look at some potential cap casualties across the league and let us know who you see as potentially could be let go and then would be a good fit for the Bucs. So Robert Quinn was in my mentions of those guys. And look, you know, Robert Quinn was, if you believe the news stories that are out there, the Bucs were trying to make a move and acquire him. The Bucs have been mentioned in all these guys, all these nostalgic guys, and Michael Bennett and Aqib Talib and whatever person who's possibly played one single down for the Buccaneers, because we all want the nostalgia. And I'm sure now we're going to hear the Adrian Claiborne stuff as well. The notion that Jason Light is sitting on his hands and doing nothing just blows my mind. And I think that's what gets me the most frustrated, because of the fact that last year, with almost the same roster that we have right now, everyone was projecting playoffs and Super Bowl. And you know, this is going to be the greatest Buccaneers offense that we've ever had in history.
Uh-oh.
Look, it didn't work out that way. Okay. And we got 5 wins, but what they've done is started to trim the fat of the roster. Like, no one liked Doug Martin last year. No one liked Chris Baker last year. Okay, those guys are no longer. Those guys are let go. Free agency hasn't even started yet. The Bucs are taking care of their own players. Big news has been coming out the last couple days. Okay, these other 30-plus-year-old players are going and playing out the last couple years of their contracts. And I'm sure the Bucs were interested in, you know, some short-term type things with them and just to kind of put a Band-Aid on the whole situation. But I think everyone needs to take a step back off the ledge and realize what we have here is a good core group of young players that need to play better this year and in free agency and in the draft. The draft is where you add to that good core group of young players, and free agency is where you kind of supplement that, right? And I think what people are seeing right now, Derek and JC, is that, oh my gosh, it's a defensive line and there's so many holes and all that. I get mm-hmm. that, but you're not going to address that all in one offseason. And if you're going out and signing 4 to 5 defensive ends, when this defensive end crop is probably one of the worst that I've seen in free agency that I've recently, it's not going to work out. Look, good teams, or teams in general, do not let their top pass rusher go. Okay, so DeMarcus Lawrence wasn't going anywhere. Ziggy Ansah wasn't going anywhere. This is what we have right now. Jason Light and Dirk Cutter are working just as hard as any other GM and head coach in the league, in my opinion, right? Their jobs are on the line. They are going to do everything in their power to improve their football team. I can't do the GM job. No one who does another podcast can do the DM job. No one on Twitter can be the GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's their job. It's in their hands. Step off the ledge. Relax. Let them do their job. Let's see how it plays out. And then we can analyze and discuss from that point moving forward.
Now, playing devil's advocate, Chris, and you know, you did this very well for a long time with Bucs Brief Podcast. You continue to do it well with Twitter. We've done it adequately from time to time. It's certainly not that Jason Light and the franchise are beyond question, and that's what fans will do, and that's what podcast hosts will do, and radio hosts will do, and television hosts will do. You question, second guess, do your analysis. You and I, Jesus Christ, the number of second guesses we've given on play calling and execution, it's countless. That said, your point is a valid one. The approach is one of patience. If you go out and pretend that free agency is like Publix and you're going to go to the defensive end aisle and get all of them, right, you're going to end up with a bunch of stale bread. We've done that before, right? It costs a lot of money and you end up with shitty product.
Michael Johnson,
yeah.
Chris Baker.
You're right. So, and what's funny is, and I don't mean to attack the fans here because I just don't care to, but the same people who typically will say, well, anyone who's cut from a team, that's their trash, why would you want it, are the same ones who are jerking off over free agents right now, who, by the way, are the people who were just cut from a team.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I would guess some large percentage of the people who are crying and waxing melancholy about Michael Bennett not coming back to Tampa are the same ones who thought he was a piece of shit for taking a knee. Right, and for the Las Vegas stuff. Now, I don't happen to feel that way. I actually like Michael Bennett. I loved him when he was here. Jason and I were joking around in the offseason. I think Stephen White and I were taking up a collection to try and keep him here. Right? But he's on the other end of the age scale. And to be honest, I just don't think that he was a figure. Nor do I think there was a snowball's chance in hell of him coming back after the way we fucked him on the way out the door. So if you get past the Quinn piece, which obviously there's some injury things there. He's playing next to some pretty damn good defensive linemen. We made a run at him. The run wasn't successful. Michael Bennett ends up being a non-issue. The next guy on the list I've heard you talk about is Curry, right? But we've got guys coming back that they had bet on in the offseason last year that didn't come to fruition. Jack Smith and Noah Spence. So let's stop worrying about what people are mad about for a second, though I agree with your sage counsel of fans, calm down. Stop being mad every time someone signs someone, because at the rate Cleveland is signing people right now, you're going to die.
Or the Rams.
Or the Rams. Yeah. Who do you think the Bucs should add? Is there a seasoning? Is there some cilantro out there that you want to throw into this taco salad that we got going on?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to, and you know, when we do the film breakdown during the year, Derek, is that, you know, in my opinion, the interior, as bad as the defensive line was from a pass rush standpoint, you know, I don't think there's much, there's talent in the cupboard. You know, there was injuries. There was guys, like you mentioned, that they were going to bank on that just were not available. I feel like the interior of the offensive line was the biggest weak point that we saw on this team last year. And, you know, regardless, this team won five games last year. But, guys, if they score in the red zone, when they get in the red zone, if they score touchdowns instead of trying to kick field goals, this is a completely different team. It's a completely different record. And we're probably not having this podcast or this conversation right now because people would probably step back a little bit from the ledge. I'm looking at interior offensive linemen first, because the teams that that they played for previously, it's not that they're getting cut and they're garbage. It's that those teams are in such a cap situation that, and these players performed well enough that they're going to go and get paid by another NFL team. And it just so happens that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a plethora of money, even with the Mike Evans contract, to go out and be spenders for a couple of these interior guys. And Derek, you know I've got a man crush on this guy.
Listen,
I feel
he's
like
got a TRO on your ass. If you show up in the same city as Jensen, there are going to be police.
I'm telling you right now, if Ryan Jensen becomes a part of this Tampa Bay community, the fans will love him. He will become, I feel like, he will become part of the What the Buck family more than any other player has in the history. This is the guy that you want to have in your locker room and a part of your organization. Baltimore Raven fans, you can ask anyone. I've got a good friend who's a Baltimore Raven fan, and he is absolutely in love with Ryan Jensen. The thing is, they've got some younger guys behind him, and they don't have the money to go out and bring him back. I love Ryan Jensen. I love Norwell, the guard out of Carolina, who they're in a bad cap situation. They're not going to be able to bring him back. I like those guys on the interior. I like some guys at cornerback. I've been a fan of Aaron Colvin out of Jacksonville ever since he came into the league. He had an ACL coming out of Oklahoma, so his draft slipped a little bit, and he's not able to start on the outside in Jacksonville because of the talent that they have there. I'm looking at addressing some short-term where I feel are kind of weaknesses on the team, but I'm not looking to build the team by going out and adding 10 free agents. I want to add some components, but I want to really continue to build through the draft, and I feel like this could be a turning point year. It's way too early. We're not even to free agency. We're not even to the draft. But look what they've done. They've locked up Mike Evans.
Yep.
They're going to lock up Jameis Winston. They're going to lock up Ali Marpet. I know fans like to shit on Donovan Smith, but he's a pretty damn solid left tackle, and I think he's going to continue to get better. They're going to lock him up. Like, this is – Kwan's going to get locked up. We've got Levante already in, and Gerald's got a couple years left. This is our core group, and this is what you need to build around. I feel like, and I know the wins don't show this, be patient with this team. I think the staff will hopefully improve this year, and let's see what this young core group of players can do and continue to add to that, not go out and just, you know, throw $60 million at free agents because you won five games last year.
Well, I'm actually kind of interested to see how how Brinson Buckner is going to do with Robert Ayers and a lot of the guys that kind of underachieved last year. I mean, if he is what's on the label, he's going to make that impact to where he can bring the 6 or 7 or 8 sacks that we were expecting out of Ayers last year and maybe finally turn Noah Spence into that monster that everybody said that he was going to be.
Well, the biggest challenge I think with Noah is just health, and I don't know that his shoulder's ever going to be right. I don't know that his shoulder will ever allow him to develop anything other than a speed rush, which is what we've talked about since he came in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's vicious coming off the edge, but as soon as people realize that's all he's going to do, they kick, step, and nullify because he can't go inside. I do like the Buckner acquisition. You know, we did think Jay Hayes was going to be better than he was, even though our friends in Cincinnati told us that he wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about it in the offseason last year, right? I think that it's a miracle that Coach Warhop is still here. I think both lines underachieved. It does call into question some things that other people are calling into question as to who's making some of these decisions. Are the position coaches weighing in heavily to the head coach rank or to the coordinator level? Does ownership have a say in it? Where's the GM in this whole thing? And that's a recipe that we'll never get the true story on, right? Yep. Your grandmother's never going to tell you how to make her sauce. She's
right.
Going to give you hints, right? So, yes, I hope Buckner makes these guys better. I hope we do less stupid stunting. But Chris made an incredibly powerful point in amongst all of his other good points. Not blowing smoke, but I didn't want to make it seem like you were an asshole either. but if the offense does what it's supposed to do, this was supposed to be a powerful offense.
Yes.
The offensive line did not help. Trying to force the ball to DeSean Jackson did not help.
Jameis being hurt did not help.
Yeah. If you end up with 5 more wins last year, is everyone standing on the ledge ready to jump off of a cliff? The answer, I think Chris powerfully put it, is no.
Yeah.
So why would you wholesale be trading everything out? So you go back to the trenches. It always starts with the fat guys, right? It's just the way it works. So whoever you get to upgrade, Sweezy, you upgrade. Other guard. Upgrade, because that's just a Velcro patch right now.
Yeah,
that's nobody.
Because Pamphill and Evan Smith were just splitting time.
Listen, they were actually just throwing dice on the sideline and putting in whoever won.
Yeah.
So if you can get the line better. Now, I know that Doug Martin was everyone's favorite whipping boy. I obviously disagree on a lot of those points, but he's not here, so it doesn't matter. He's not a Buccaneer. Whether it's Peyton Barber or someone else, I don't care. Whoever runs the ball has to get 4 yards of carry and pick up blitzes. I get it. Everyone wants to pick on Chuck Sims. He picks up blitzes. He catches the ball in the backfield. If you don't use your weapons properly, they cease to be weapons, right?
Yep.
I don't know how to use nunchucks. I'd be just totally useless with nunchucks, but they're deadly in the hands of the right person. The fact that we can't throw a slant to DeSean Jackson is on Coach Cutter and no one else. The fact that he thinks you have to run nines with him is just stupid.
And instead of having DeSean Jackson on screens, he's throwing it to Adam Humphries.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we have to change internally. And, Chris, this does not speak to anything about free agency whatsoever. It speaks to the things that we talked about last year that you talk about week on and week on. You know, someone made a comment today on one of the boards, I think. They were like, oh, man, it'd be great to see Nelson and McCoy going one-on-one at training camp, right? And a lot of us go to training camp. Chris, you've been there.
Yeah.
Jason, you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
if they don't run a better training camp this year, that will be, I think, one of the best leading indicators of problems to come. We had a soft-as-shit training camp last year.
How about some padded practices, Dirk?
Well, they're limited in what you can do, but you've got to be able to get contact in there. The team was not ready for prime time. I, of course, am going to blame it entirely on Hard Knocks because I was the only guy who thought Hard Knocks sucked. But I also know
you weren't alone in that. I give a fucks about Hard Knocks.
Listen, man, I would love to blame Hard Knocks,
and Pat Curran and Jim Miller said that when they came to Tampa, they were shocked at how the Bucks were playing up to the cameras. So it's obviously was a distraction. Even though we said a million times, oh, it's not going to be a distraction. It's not going to be a distraction. It was a friggin' distraction.
I'm not blaming on Hard Knocks, but it's a young football team. Guys, I mean, of course they're going to play it to the camera. They want to be shown and featured on HBO, and that's what they did.
And I think part of what really impacted the season was they thought they arrived. They thought they were the shit. And they weren't ready. They weren't ready for it.
You know, it's funny you say that. We talked off camera, Chris, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Yeah. When you bring in guys like DeSean Jackson or Chris Baker, and I would argue that they're similar in some ways that people don't really want to talk about, and that's okay. You're betting that your locker room is mature enough and that your organization is mature enough to nullify some of the things that can happen if things go sideways, right? And what we found out in a resounding fashion this last season was that it wasn't. And I think it started with Coach Cutter. What are your thoughts about the maturity of this organization, starting at Coach Cutter and then through your major cogs, right? So your Jameis, your Geralds, your Levantes, your whoever the hell else you put in that group. What are your thoughts about that coming into this season?
Yeah, you know, I've been really critical of Dirk, but I really like Dirk as a coach, and I think he can really improve. I feel like he's got too much on his plate, and I don't feel like he can be a head coach by having all these other things on his plate during the game time situations. And my biggest critiques that I've had with him through the last 2 years has been those decisions in game, when to kick, when to go for it, when to punt, when to call a timeout, when to challenge, all those type of things, where maybe this shift, and we'll kind of see how it plays out with Coach Monken, some more responsibility being put on him, that Dirk can actually be a head coach and not be an offensive coordinator slash head coach who also has to make these decisions. I mentioned in the past about potentially bringing in some more maybe veteran type coaching or something to kind of help out with that, but we'll kind of see how that plays out. From a locker room standpoint, and I'm not there every day, but I think we've known the reputation of the guys that we have in the locker room. Gerald McCoy is not a vocal leader. Even if he tells you and stands up at the podium at the beginning of the year that he needs to be more vocal, I don't think that, just as me, just as a person, I don't think it's easy to change the type of person that you are. I think sometimes you try to grow and you can, you know, learn through experience and learn through as you age, but usually you're going to fall back on that type of person that you are. And that's fine. Gerald is a fantastic football player. I think he gets way too much shit in the Tampa Bay area and from the community. I think it's perpetuated by some loud voices in the area. But you know what? Gerald is who he is, and I think he's kind of now bringing it upon himself with how he's reacting on social media, but, you know, whatever. He can do what he wants to do. Jameis Winston's the vocal leader of this football team. He's the quarterback. He is everything that you want in a football player. I think Kwon is developing into that vocal leader on the defensive side of the ball. The interesting thing to me is you bring in a guy like Chris Baker, but you've got a guy like Clinton McDonald who's a vocal leader, and you would think that would kind of balance it out, but clearly that didn't work. But Chris Baker was the guy taking the snaps away from Clinton McDonald, so I don't know if that had anything to play into it. But, you know, look, I think there's young guys on this football team like your Chris Godwins. I think guys like Ali Marpet can develop into that. I'd like to see some really good chemistry on this offensive line, similar to what they had in the past when they had guys like Jeff Fain and guys like that on the football team. I think there's a young group, bringing in the Michael Bennett and Aqib Talib and things like that weren't things that were resonating with me from an overall chemistry standpoint. I understand they might have more talent than the guy that's currently playing that position that we have on the roster. It all begins and ends with Jameis, guys. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And I think having Fitz there is bringing him back, and Fitzpatrick, having him there is that vocal leader, but just kind of veteran presence. Guys, when Jameis came back from injury last year, and this is what I think fans can take a step back and build upon, He was playing the best football that I've ever seen Jameis Winston play since he's been in Tampa. And I'm taking that and I'm looking at that and I'm moving forward. And that's how I'm going to say, let's add some free agents. Let's continue to build through the draft and let's see how it plays out.
I think it's a good point. The go forward on Jameis is important. I think that the point you just made about Tlaib and Bennett, and I think they're very different players for a lot of reasons, both talented, no doubt about it, in their respective positions. Neither one of them, even though I like Michael in a lot of ways and I think that he can be a leader in a number of ways, he's not a guy that's going to come in, and we're going to pull back some old school What the Buck stuff here. We used to joke about having wristbands made, WWHND. What would Hardy Nickerson do? We don't have that guy here yet. Lavonte David, I can't get enough of. And I love Gerald McCoy, don't get me wrong, but you guys heard it in the podcast last year. Love Quan Alexander. Love what we got out of him, too.
I think Quan's trying to be that.
But Lavonte David is a transcendental athlete, right? This is a guy who can take over games and did it last year, did it broken last year, did it on one leg last year, right? This is a guy who we have not scratched the surface of his potential, and he's so good that you don't even get to see how good Quan Alexander could be, right? But I haven't seen him go and grab someone by the face mask and say, get your shit together. Right, we don't have a guy that's done that, or guys,
until,
right?
Until week 16.
Right.
Yeah.
We haven't had that yet.
Yeah.
So we have to have that manifest itself. And I think that Jameis can try and do it. You know, there were some stop starts with the injuries last year and with some foolishness. But we've got to see what that turns into. And Chris, I want to thank you for calling in. Obviously, I know you got your vacation. You're getting ready to start. But what would the takeaway be? What's the thing that you'd like to see out of the draft? I know that you're in the Nelson camp, but I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell we see him. What do you see the Bucs doing in the draft if you had to put on your Karnak hat and predict the future? That's a
wow.
Johnny Carson reference.
Yeah. Oh, I'm old, man. I got you.
Jesus, I'm old.
I may be it's a toss up between Ryan Jensen and Quentin Nelson of which offensive lineman do I love more, because I love both of those guys.
And then put them together. How about that, Chris?
Oh my God, it'd be the perfect player. It's like I always say, like, if you could clone Aaron Rodgers and Adam Thielen, like, oh my God, I'd be just in. I'd come on. There's
Listen,
no one better.
Chris, there's no camera on you right now. Be careful.
Yeah, this is
man,
a little uncomfortable, Chris.
Man crushes on all those guys, but No, I obviously Quentin Nelson, I think, is the overall top prospect in the draft. I'm a BPA guy. There's deficiencies all over this football team. Obviously, they're not going to take a wide receiver in the first round. I'm looking at, obviously, edge rusher. I think trade down makes sense. You know, people are pushing secondary right now, and I just not in love with that pick in the top 10 because I don't feel like they need that type of a top overall player in the secondary, but it would not shock me to see a safety, but I just don't see that. It would kind of be a head scratcher
for seven?
Me. People are throwing the Derwin James stuff, and I just don't, no knock on Derwin as a player because he's fantastic. He's going to be great. I just don't see that as the biggest need on this football team when you're sitting there drafted in the top 10. Look, I'm looking interior offensive line. I'm looking defensive line. Let's get some defensive tackles. Let's get some defensive ends. And, you know, in the late rounds, it's a toss-up for whatever. If it's to add some depth at cornerback, maybe depth at safety. I'm never opposed to adding another linebacker. You know, if Glanton's brought back or if he's not, you know, it's not bad in those late rounds, his six rounds, to get a guy who can come in and play some special teams, or a corner or a safety who can come in and play special teams.
Or a kicker.
I mean, people are ripping on my boy Pat Murray when I feel like he was hurt at the end of last year.
I'm telling you, man, we got to find the film, Chris. Yeah. No one believes us. I'm telling you, I can't remember which week it was.
It was Atlanta. He took that hit in the opening kickoff.
Yep.
The opening kickoff, and he was never the same. And I've read one of the plans from one of the Pewter Report writers, and I know Pat's not taking a million to come back. Come on, man. That's too little to pay my man to come back. So we'll see. I just want – I'd love to see defensive line addressed in this draft, but it's not a deep defensive line class. That's the problem. They're not going to fix everything in 1 year. Take who you've got, tops on your board. No one thought O.J. Howard was going to fall. He fell. No one thinks Quentin Nelson's going to fall. You never know, Derek. You never know. But, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I'm not nervous about it at all. I'm honestly very calm about this offseason. I wish people would just take a step back and chill a little bit. But You know, I'm good, man. I feel like this team is not that far away. That's why I've been very calm as far as my outlook on the team. And, you know, if it doesn't work out next year, then we're going to be in the same situation. They're going to bring in a new staff again. And I would rather not that not happen. I'd rather this team improve. And that's what I fully expect to happen this year.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you calling in. I want to let you go on vacation. And we've got our second surprise after the Mike Evans contract that we clearly were involved in. We've got Thomas Bassinger calling in at 9:45.
Oh, that's my man. That is my man. Tom Metrics on Twitter.
Tom
go
Metrics.
Follow him.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to bring some sanity back to this stuff. So we're going to clear the line for him, let you start drinking. Well, you're not driving tomorrow, are you?
I am cruising tomorrow,
that's
ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
Leave
then
me
start
alone.
Drinking right
don't,
now.
Don't tweet me.
Have fun, Chris. Thanks so much. We'll see you when you get back, my brother.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, take care. All right, let me disconnect that call, unless he disconnects it for me, which he just did. We'll have Thomas calling in at 9:45. That'll let Jason and I talk a little bit about this.
Great.
I do want to talk a little bit about Derwin James. I love Derwin. I had the fortune to coach him briefly. I know Derwin a little bit. He's from Auburndale, well, Haines City, strictly speaking. Played at Auburndale for a little while, then played at Haines City before going to FSU. You can't ask for more out of a player. The kid's heart is gigantic. Yep. He is a gym junkie, a physical freak. He will give you every ounce of everything he has on every single play. There's no way in hell I would take him at 7. I don't think you take a safety that high, even though I think he has the capability to be Polamalu-esque.
Yep.
The thing he doesn't have the capability to be, in my opinion, is cornerback-esque, like a lot of people think he can. If you are in a position where you want that safety who can move all over the field, who can blitz, who can do all these sorts of things, he is absolutely the guy you want. But I just don't think that the Bucs need him there. I wish him well because I really do. I think the world of the kid. He put it on the line every time that I was around him.
Yep.
And seemed to do that through college. But I just think that that's way too high to go after a safety there, Jason. Now, what are your thoughts? We talked to Chris a little bit about this. What are your thoughts based on what we talked about with Chris, free agency, what do you see the opportunities? Should fans be as calm as Chris wants them to be, right? Because fans want, damn it, they want to win, and they've been mad for, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about it where, in a way, it's about wanting change because the 5-11 wasn't acceptable to anybody, so everybody wanted Dirk fired. You know, Dirk didn't get fired. Everybody wanted Light fired. Light didn't get fired. Everybody wanted Mike Smith to get fired. Mike Smith didn't get fired. So they want to see some kind of change because they think that's what the Buccaneers need. I'm kind of with Chris on that, where I don't necessarily think that we need drastic changes. We do need help. We absolutely need help on the defensive line, offensive line. We're going to need help in the secondary because it seems like we're not going to be re-signing Brent Grimes. So there's definitely some holes that need to be filled. And when you see a player like Marcus Peters get traded for a bag of donuts, you know, I can understand the outrage. You know, I was one of the people like, where the hell were the Bucks? We could certainly use a corner. You know, why aren't we trading that bag of donuts for Marcus Peters? And yeah, Marcus Peters may be an asshole, but you know what? He's a very talented asshole that can make a whole bunch of interceptions and win games for you. So I was one of the people that got a little bit ticked off about that. And the same thing with Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn, yes, he's an injury risk. He's had some injuries over the last few years. But at the same time, he's also been a guy that can definitely get to the quarterback. And last time I checked, we need a guy that can get to the quarterback. So,
yeah, the thing that I always think gets lost is they think that it's like Monopoly. Like you land on Robert Quinn and it's like, oh, well, give me $400 and you can have Robert Quinn.
Right.
Anytime there's a transaction like this, there has to be both sides of the transaction.
Sure.
There's value assessed. You set a value. And if it exceeds the value, if you're smart, you back off. Now, where we subjectively set that value compared to where Jason Light and the organization sets that value is one thing. Whether a team prefers that the person that they get rid of go to the AFC, the NFC sometimes weighs in on it.
Absolutely.
These are all factors. And I know that it gets frustrating sometimes as a fan because you're like, oh, yeah, well, I just go do this. And I can model the trade and magic happens. And it just doesn't work that way. It's not as black and white as I think we would like it to be. But I get, because I'm one of the fans who's frustrated, right? Mm-hmm. We had the What the Buck 10 shirts with all the head coaches and all the misery that we've gone through as fans. And last year, damn it, it was supposed to be...
That was going to be the year.
It was supposed to be the year at least to make a statement to get out there and cause some havoc. And we come out and we stomp a mud hole in a team week one. I'm like, Jesus, we're here. It's going to be different. And then it's just another set of ass kickings every fucking week.
Yeah.
And so I get it. There's fatigue. But the thing you can't do, in my opinion, and again, listen, I'm not here to tell you guys what to do. When I was a younger man, I tried to change people's opinions. And I have learned you just can't do that. Right?
Yep.
What I can tell you is you're going to be less happy. You're going to be more frustrated, and you absolutely do not make an impact on who they pick. So sure. You can study, you can try and get involved, which is good. I think getting educated makes a lot of sense. I happen to think following guys like Thomas Bassinger, talking to people like Chris, these guys who study the film, who watch the All 22, who see these things that are going on, I think that's how you can do those sorts of things.
Yep.
But one of the areas where you and I differ, and you just said it pretty well, is I'm a chemistry guy.
Yep.
Right? If I've got a guy who's a problem, and I'm not one of these guys who uses the cancer in the locker room thing often, right? Because I think it's overused. It's a media trope.
Yep.
But generally speaking, the assessment is not just about what they can do on the field, right? It's what kind of a teammate they're going to be, especially at this level.
Because
I can't just go buy 11 Mercs and make a starting offense. It doesn't work. We know it doesn't work.
Right. But at the same time, I mean, there are players that don't get along with the other players. You know, Warren Sapp is a great example. He was an asshole to everybody, but he was also a great football player and one of the best. He's a Hall of Famer. So you have to kind of weigh is the bad attitude, the chemistry issue worth the play on the field? You know, and when that doesn't equate, that's when you get rid of the guy.
So that's an interesting comparison. It's not accurate, in my opinion.
Okay.
Warren Sapp didn't get along with players on the team, without a doubt, in the locker room. Didn't get along with them at all. On the field, they were brothers. They fought together, right? That's different than today's athlete or what I'm seeing. And maybe this is a get-off-my-lawn moment, right, for old school, which is certainly possible because I am old as shit and I do get-off-my-lawn moments. But it used to be you could disagree with someone in the locker room, keep it in the locker. I mean, there was shit that going on in that locker room with Warren Sapp where him and what's-his-face, a kid from Louisville, got into a fight. Dwayne
Smith?
No. A light-skinned black guy. Damn it. He was a country, too. I can't remember. Dwayne White. D-White.
Yep.
I mean, they got into full-blown fights. There's all sorts of stuff that we heard about in the locker room. But when they're on the field, no problems. Nowadays, it's not like that. There's so much attitude, it's changed. So in the chat room, Adrian Mojica is disagreeing with me vehemently on Derwin James. He thinks he's the kind of transcendental athlete. He's the safety that you can blitz with, that can create mismatches, do these. And listen, I know what a freakish athlete he is. I don't see that being leveraged in this defense
in any
way, shape, or form, and not in the NFL the way the NFL is now. But I understand the analysis. I just don't think you value him. If you can trade down and get him lower, then maybe that's true. I am, again, not taking anything away from his talent or Minkah Fitzpatrick's talent, right? That's not what this is about.
Fitzpatrick, I see as like another Mark Barron type player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had one of those.
Yeah. That's why I don't want him at 7.
Yeah, exactly. So again, at 9:45, we'll have Thomas Bassinger calling in. We'll talk to him a little bit about free agency. If you guys don't follow him, it's at TOMetrics. On Twitter, you should follow him. You should go out and Google some of his articles. They are not easy reads. I will tell you that right now. I will warn you, if you are new, it's not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Nice call. I will tell you, you need to have your web browser open and spend some time reading. It's like reading Trevor's Cover 3 articles.
Yes.
But I encourage you as fans to do that. If you podcast listeners out there, the live folks here as well, I mean, we really appreciate you guys coming live, especially on a Friday night. I mean, Jesus, I know that I am socially challenged, but the fact that all of you clowns are here is just amazing to me. I tease. I love you guys. But the podcast listeners, get out there and read this kind of content and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to free agency, when it comes to this sort of horse trading, that's certainly dehumanizing. There's a tremendous amount of subjectivity that comes into it. And Jason, we just talked about it a little bit. You assess a player and set a value, and then it becomes bartering. It's just like going to the store. Like when I went to India just recently, you're making a deal.
Yeah.
What will you be willing to give up? And if that piece isn't enough to make other people, it can't just be that the piece is an upgrade. The piece has to be an upgrade and make other people better.
And they have to be wanting to come to you, because that's one of the challenges that I think the Buccaneers may face, that the Patriots and Eagles and, and other teams that have kind of established themselves as winning franchises, the Bucs may have to pay a little bit more to actually get these guys to actually want to come here, just because, you know, nobody, they've seen 10 straight consecutive, you know, not consecutive losing seasons, but 10 straight years without the playoffs. So they want to go to the playoffs. They want to have opportunities to get those playoff checks and to get those endorsements for being a Super Bowl champion. And you're not going to see that in Tampa Bay unless, you know, some things turn around.
Well, and I know a lot of times people talk about the history of losing that's a problem. The Browns aren't having a trouble signing people.
That's because they're paying the crap out of people. I mean, they're paying.
The relative level difference is inconsequential, right? Yeah. And I know that that's hard to understand for most people who are making normal money, like normal human beings. Now they're paying their mortgage and putting their kids to college. These guys really only have a 2.5 to 5 year window to make this money. That's why the contracts are different. We talked about that ad nauseum during,
especially for the running backs.
Right.
Yeah, I totally understand why Le'Veon Bell is trying to get as much money as he
get
can.
Paid. He's got 2 years left, maybe.
Yeah.
But the thing that you said on the back end of that is, and we talked about a little bit off air with LeGarrette Blount, who I have no interest in having back in Tampa. Not because he's not a talented player. I just don't want him here. He was a headache here. He's been a headache elsewhere. He does what he's supposed to do on the field. Now he's accomplished at it.
Yeah.
He wants to go collect rings, and he can do that because everyone knows what he's capable of.
Yep.
So he's a one-year merc. Yep. He'll go try and get a ring, and it works. Good on him, right? But that means he's only going to go after the top, say, six programs.
Yep.
He's not going to go sign in Arizona, right? He's not going to go sign in Tampa again, right? Yep. Why the hell would he do that?
Right.
So that speaks to why Tampa may not be a place a free agent want to come. Now, we were up and coming. DeSean Jackson, right? Chris Baker. People wanted to come here because we're the next big team, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then when you fall or step on your dick and can't get to the playoffs, all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe now Cutter's a lame duck coach at this point.
Yep.
This is something we haven't talked about yet on the show. We didn't say we're going to talk about it on the show, but goddammit, it's our show. We can talk about it however we want to. Dirk Cutter is on a one-year prove it.
Yep.
We can pretend it's something else, but rest assured,
that's
what it is.
Yeah.
If I were ownership and I didn't want other players to think that and I didn't want anyone else to think that, I would have given the man an extension. I would have given him guarantees. If I'm sold, if I'm in the camp of Cutter and I'm in the camp of this regime and I'm saying, listen, guys, and by the way, guys, that's how I am. Not with Dirk Cutter necessarily, right? Because you guys know I vacillated on him. I think his play calling's been suspect. I think his leadership is suspect. I think coaches need 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
Guaranteed. Agreed. 5 preferred. Just tell people that. Right now, if people are like, well, you know, He almost got shit canned last year. What am I going to do? Go down there and go through a regime change?
Yeah.
That's more damning than we haven't made the playoffs.
Absolutely.
We pay good money. We have no state sales tax. The weather is beautiful, I guess, if you're not fat. It's just amazing here. How can you not recruit people to Tampa? We have a great stadium, amazing facility, top of the line, new indoor facility.
I mean, think about it. Sean Payton can sit there and say, hey, I've been here 10, 12 years, however long Sean Payton's been there. Dirk Cutter may not be there next year. Do you really want to deal with that? I'm going to be here. Drew may not be here, but our regime's going to be here, and we're going to keep on winning games. And here's the same amount of money that Tampa's going to pay you. Come on over here to New Orleans.
I'll tell you this right now. Drew Brees leaves New Orleans. They don't get another free agent worth a shit for 2 more years unless they get a real quarterback. Right, Drew Brees has kept that franchise alive.
Oh, I don't.
They get lucky with,
with
a running back that brings her off. Listen, the beginning of the year last year, they had the New Orleans Saints were written off. They were terrible,
and for
Kamara,
good reason.
Kamara starts running the ball. Yeah. All of a sudden, Drew Brees can throw the ball. See, this is the thing about football.
And they get a little defense to help them out.
Yeah, but so here, imagine that if your offense scores, holds the ball and scores, your defense changes. Not with personnel changes, right? I mean, Lattimore's a rock star, no doubt about it. But all you have to do is change one little variable. Right?
Sustain some drives. Yep.
Give your defense time to rest. Give them a lead once in a while. Let your defensive coordinator call some blitzes when he otherwise couldn't because he has to play more conservative because he's protecting the lead. All of these things come into it. I encourage you, and you guys know I oversimplify things all the time. I say football is just about blocking and tackling, and I do all the binary shit that we do as human beings. It's not true, but fun. It makes us feel better. There are a million variables to football. Some of them are so small.
Yep.
Right? One touchdown instead of a field goal.
And that game changes.
One field goal made, not missed. That game changes. 4 games swing in a year, it's a totally different franchise, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I think Chris's counsel to us to calm down and relax doesn't make fans feel any better. But guess what? That's not their job to do it, right?
Yep.
I really wish for other fans and for me as a fan and you as a fan, you're wearing your Bucko Bruce here, mm-hmm. right? You're obviously a diehard fan, have been forever.
Yep.
We all wore the silly hats in school and got made fun of.
Yeah, big time.
We deserve some wins, right? But deserving it doesn't mean you get it.
Yeah, what really frustrates the fan base is we see all these other teams, you know, go from worst to first. You know, like the Rams last year. You know, everybody wanted to kick golf to the curb, right? But all of a sudden, the Rams get Sean McVay. They turn it around in a year, and the Bucs fans are like, well, why the hell didn't we turn it around in a year? But they forget. We went 9-7 last year in Dirk's first year. He was 9-7. We were on the cusp of the playoffs. If we don't step on our dick in a couple games down the stretch, we actually would have been in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And I think that the point you made about Goff, right? The difference between a successful player and an unsuccessful player can sometimes just be situation. We talk about it all
absolutely.
The time. Well, that guy was terrible in insert team here, and then he went to insert team there, and I'm old, so I'll talk about Jim Plunkett in New England, who was terrible, was supposed to be the salvation of the franchise, goes to Oakland, wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah, tell me if...
Oh, that's my man Thomas. Good evening. Is this Thomas?
It is.
Oh, man, look at this. We got all the rock stars on tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Thomas Bassinger on with us, fresh from the Valspar, yeah?
That's right. Yeah. You know what? A week and a half ago, gonna be honest, this wasn't even on my radar. But Tiger Woods says he's gonna be here. Well, yeah. You go see Tiger Woods.
Anything interesting happening there, Thomas?
All of a sudden, people care about golf again. Who knew?
I mean, it's happening, guys. I mean, Tiger Woods is among the leaders. It's incredible. Just the you really have to be out there to feel it, but just the buzz is really haven't been a part of very many things that feel like this. This is a new territory for me.
Well, I'm hoping you're having a good time with it. As someone who's enjoyed Tiger's career and enjoys golf, enjoys watching golf more when he's there. I hope it's a sustained run. But as fun as that is, I want to ask you to do something for me because Bucks fandom is in a bit of a tailspin right now, and we're trying to put our Lucy from Peanuts nickel for counseling sign out. You wrote an article about why missing Quinn wasn't such a big deal, essentially.
Right.
And I don't mean to sell it short because it was more detailed than that. But can you tell us a little bit about what you think about what the Bucks have done or not done thus far? And where the relative temperature level should be if you're a fan who pays attention to the level of detail that you pay attention to. How's that for a framing?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is, you know, coming off a 9-7 season and then falling to 5-11, I think any amount of frustration is totally valid. You know, you feel like the franchise is trending up, and then you take a big step back like that. You know, the defense is as porous as it was last year. Lots of turnovers on offense. You know, the frustration, totally valid. Now, you know, here we are. You know, the legal tampering period doesn't begin until Monday.
Yes, but we're already behind, Thomas. We're so far behind.
You know, exactly. Like, you know, so what have they missed out on, you know, right now? You know, they've would you have paid that price for Marcus Peters?
No.
You know, probably not. You know, you miss out on Robert Quinn. I don't think missing out on Robert Quinn, you know, I think in time, I don't think we'll see that as a mistake. Now Bennett for a fifth, you know, I'm kind of on the fence on that one, but you know, there's a whole off season to unfold here. You know, we've got free agency, we've got the draft, and I think what's really good for the Bucks is they've got something that, I mean, you'd rather have wins, of course, but they've got something a lot of teams would like at this point in the off season. They've got a lot of cap space. They've got a lot of draft picks. They've got flexibility. That's something like a team like the Dolphins doesn't have very much of. So, I saw the reaction on Twitter when the Quinn trade went down. It took me aback a little bit because, you know, I made some kind of comments about, I don't feel like the Bucks missed out here. I feel like the Rams got the better end of this deal, and my mentions blew up, and it shocked me.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you opened up with the options in this article. If those of you who haven't read the article, just search Thomas Bazinger Quinn, and you'll get it. I'll drop the URL in the chat room. The title is Buccaneers Didn't Trade for Robert Quinn. Were they wrong? And your first bullet, which is one that should have been oft-quoted, but I don't think has been quoted enough, embrace your inner nihilist. Realize that rooting for the Bucks is pointless. They're doomed, and so are you. If that doesn't summarize being a Bucks fan for about the last 14 years, I don't know that I've read a more succinct version of it.
Yes.
So it's interesting. But you give people alternatives, right? And you say to take a breath. You talk about the price that the Dolphins paid and Quinn's injury history, which is tough because it's tough to project that forward. Right, and right now we're in the midst of another one of those with Sherman hitting the market with an Achilles that's made of rubber bands. This is a non-trivial thing, but our guy in the shelf, you know, Noah Spence's shoulder is put together with staples. So do you weigh that sort of stuff as a professional media member and an analyst? How do you weigh relative impact or projection of potential impact of injuries on these kinds of players?
Well, you know, the thing with – let me start with Quinn is, you know, he's proven player, yes, but you don't want to be paying for what he did in his prime years in St. Louis. You want to be mindful of what, you know, he's going to do going forward.
Sure.
And, he had 8.5 sacks last year, but that was as an outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense, you know, those types of players, you know, as we've seen with Levante David, a great outside linebacker, but in a 4-3, you're not going to get sacks. In a 3-4, you are.
Right.
I think those sack numbers are for Quinn last season are a little bit misleading. And sometimes it's just the pressure, the sack conversion rate on pressure can be kind of a fluky thing. You know, what I think you want to see year after year is consistent pressure. And I think Quinn's sack conversion rate was pretty high last season. So, but the big thing for me, I think, is the games that he's missed over the past 3 years. He's missed, I think, 16 games. And if people are upset about Ayers missing four a season, you know, I'm just not sure what you're going to get from Quinn. And these aren't nicks. I mean,
right.
He had back surgery, I think, after the 2015 season. That's, obviously a pretty big deal. And I think I went back and I looked at players who had gotten 10 sacks in their eighth season. He's heading into his eighth season. So if you're hoping, okay, well, you know, he's a proven guy. Maybe he's a double-digit sack guy, maybe 10 sacks. History shows that guys who get 10 sacks in their eighth season have stayed pretty healthy the previous three seasons. So I think there's a high likelihood that the Dolphins are probably going to get a player who's most definitely on the decline, and not a good, this is the other piece of this. We get obsessed about the sack numbers, not a great run stopper either. And
right.
that's an area that the Bucks absolutely need to address on defense.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, when you look at what the Bucks did in the past with some of these guys, and we can rewind all the way back to Michael Bennett, though I think there are so many contributing factors to Michael Bennett that are not on the field.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't mean anything about the political stuff. I mean the back-to-back one-year prove-its, the anger. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell of them coming here, regardless of the dollars. Look at an Adrian Claiborne, who was yeoman-like in his effort, certainly had some injuries. They flopped him from side to side, solid against the run, definitely held up on the edge, wasn't going to get you blistering sack numbers. But he blew up last year, killed a poor Dallas Cowboys tackle, and blew up his numbers, and now he's one of the hottest commodities in the world. And I love Adrian as a human being. I'm fortunate that I know him as a person. But if we want that, we've got Will Golston, right? And Will can be that. He should be that. We gave him money to be that, and then he wasn't that. So I want to reverse this instead of looking outward and look inward and say, okay, you know what we got in our cupboard, even if we don't talk about Noah Spence and his broken shoulder. What are we going to see out of the guys like Will Golston or Robert Ayers coming back? Do you think we have guys who can step up and play that end position in a 4-3 and do the damn job if we give other support elsewhere?
Well, I think a healthy Spence could. I think Ayers could. Golston, I don't know. More of a run-stopping end than a guy who's a pure pass rusher. I think, the thing is, everything really hinges on Noah Spence, right? That's the guy you're depending on to be your number one pass rushing defensive end, right? And then everybody else to kind of fill in and fill those roles behind him. I think when Spence goes down, right, it magnifies the production or lack of production, however you want to look at it,
right,
of the other players. Ayers is a guy, if you look beyond the sack numbers, or if you just, it's a hard thing to do. If you just take your eye off the ball, he's a guy that gets after the quarterback consistently. And I know the sack numbers aren't there, but if you go back to when they signed him a couple of off seasons ago, right? I think if you said, okay, Ayers is going to be our number two defensive end for 3 years, I think you'd be pretty happy with that signing. But I think it's the lack of health and depth around him that have led to a misperception, really, that he's not a productive player. But I think if Spence is healthy, I think Ayers could be a really good piece of that rotation as your second or third defensive end. Sometimes he slides inside even. So, I think Claiborne's another guy that I think is worth looking at. And I know, the injury history here, people might be reluctant to give another look at him. And as you wisely mentioned, a lot of that production, his sack production last year came at one game, 6 sacks in 1 game, I think it was.
Yep.
So, but that's the thing. All of these guys out there, you can talk your way out of any of them. I mean, and that's the thing. Just these guys, just the good ones don't ever reach the market. DeMarcus Lawrence, Ezekiel Ansah, these guys just aren't going to, teams aren't going to let them go. You have to draft them, and the Bucks just—they haven't devoted very many resources to the defensive line, and the ones that they have have been question marks.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do this season. I mean, when we had Chris on before you, Fisher, and he says hello, by the way. he was talking about the offensive side, and you can't really talk about the defense without talking about the offense, and vice versa. Because your defense's requirements, the pressure on your defense changes dramatically if your offense's average point production per game goes up by 3.5 points, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, your defensive coordinator looks like a genius because he's able to dial up blitzes from time to time or play more pressure in pass coverage. Everything changes, and you actually allude to this in the article, and that's another reason why folks listen to this podcast or here on the live show, go read the article. The things that Thomas goes into about the why Quinn is leaving and why it may not be a big deal or important. Wade Phillips is not stupid, right? Defensive coordinators know what they have. The coordinator in Miami, has a different setup, right? What is it that they can do with that talent versus what someone else can do with that talent? And then situationally, who are they playing with? And you talked about this a second ago in the conversation you were having. You put Ayers with a functional set of six platoon defensive linemen, and he looks a certain way. If you put him with guys whose names we don't remember even from last year, we probably couldn't name successfully all the defensive ends that played for the Buccaneers. Just because we don't know. Their names were written with Sharpie. So with Ayers, I don't think it's dissimilar from Clinton McDonald, a guy who I think can play good football still. But you've got to have, you got to have, like Sapp used to say and Simi used to say, you have to have dogs you hunt with. We don't have that. We got guys that showed up today healthy, and then a couple of guys that are normally there.
Yeah, you know, I don't think something, maybe somebody else has, you know, I don't think something that we've talked about enough this offseason is, you know, yes, the Bucs need some high-end players. They do. But they also just need depth because, you know, this was one of my points when we were talking about Quinn the other night is, you know, things are going to go wrong. Guys are going to get hurt. You know, Spence could come back this year and be healthy, and then somebody else could get hurt. I mean, you look at the success the Eagles had this year. Of course, they spent a lot more, but you know, they had a defensive line rotation, right? I would expect a lot of teams to try to mimic that. You know, over the next couple of off seasons, but they lost their linebacker. Their middle linebacker. They lost Jason Peters, their left tackle. Of course, they lost Carson Wentz, and were still able to make a deep run. I mean, the Bucs really need a lot of depth along the defensive line, and they didn't have any last year, and it showed. So I mentioned that Ayers played 12 games last year, right?
Right.
He still, despite missing four games, was second on the defensive line in percentage of snaps played. You know, you wonder if you're able to rotate a guy like Ayers more often,
right.
whether he has more energy. Maybe he's a little bit quicker to the quarterback,
right,
if he's not playing as many snaps. You know, I think depth, that's why I said in that article, I think you need to assign two defensive ends in free agency. I'm not saying they've got to be big splashy guys, you know, like somebody like Alex Okafor, from the Saints was having a great season last year until, he tore his Achilles, I think in week 11. So, he's a guy that was getting to the quarterback, good run stopper. Need to build that depth.
You know, it's a good point about the number of plays. There's all sorts of analytics that we can get into, and I suspect you will as the season wears on, building some templates, looking at the number of plays, snaps, versus production, I think is a good one. But I know that it's late. I know you've been out of Valspar. I want to thank you for calling in on short notice. Are there articles that people should be looking out for you? I know you're working on golf right now. Are there other things you're going to do that are going to piss everyone off that we should be ready for tomorrow? Because I certainly enjoy the hell out of that. So,
well, you know, what I'd say is stay tuned to TampaBay.com/sports throughout the week for free agency updates.
I like it. Well, be safe. Get all the stuff you've got to write tonight. I'm sure you've got another 4 hours worth of work at least to do this evening. Have fun out there tomorrow. And I look forward to talking to you more throughout the off season and then seeing you at camp, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot. Always fun.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thomas Bassinger, ladies and gentlemen, get out there, check out his stuff again. They're not easy reads. I don't mean that because he's a bad writer, because he's not. He's a good writer, and he's actually an entertaining writer. But it's thick subject material. This isn't your typical TMZ sports bullshit. This is real writing. So I definitely encourage you to go out there and take a look at it. So we're at 10 o'clock. Jason, I want to wrap some things up with you. I know
Sure.
We've been having interviews and stuff. We've got you all the way out here. I know we got some exciting things hopefully we're going to do with the site. We've got more conversation we're going to be doing with regards to What the Buck. You're a lifelong fan. You and I are on a little bit of a different side of the argument of some of these things, which is totally fine.
Sure.
You've seen the Mike Evans signing. You've seen the massive signing of Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I know that the
Fitzmagic is back.
The networks are abuzz right now with that. I tease. I think it's important to have a vet backup. I'm just saying. Yep. What's your temperature level now compared to where it was before the Evans signing, right? And then what has to happen in the next 4 weeks for you to start to be happier?
Well, I mean, I'm actually pretty mellow at this point. I'm very happy with the Mike Evans signing. I think that's a huge step for this franchise. We needed to get Mike locked up. We needed to know where he was going to be at. I think everything else kind of slots around it. You know, Winston's contract, Quan, Allie's going to be coming up. Donovan Smith has to get done. So there's a lot of that the Bucks have to do to keep the talent in-house. What do they need to do over the next free agency period? I would say I would like to see some help on in the secondary. I think we need an answer for Brent Grimes, because I still haven't given up on Vernon Hargreaves. I think he can still be a player. I think he can develop into a player. Rondé took several years to get his bearings in the NFL, and I think it's going to be the same thing for Vernon. I think he's going to come around at some point. At least I hope that's going to be the case. But we need somebody on the other side, and we need maybe two guys. I do think safety could be something that we could address. I don't know. I don't think we need to address it with the first round pick, but it's definitely. I think we can use another person there. I love Justin Evans. I think it's Justin Evans, right? Okay. I couldn't remember his first name.
No worries.
Yeah. I love Justin Evans. I think he's got a lot of potential. He started to definitely come along in the second half of the season. I still think we need a body on the other side. I like Conte as well. I don't hate Conte. And I think Keith Tandy, if he was healthy, he probably would have gotten a lot more playing time and maybe been a good bookend with Evans. But I do think that they could probably do something there. Obviously, defensive line is a need, but I just don't see it in the free agents class. I mean, when Adrian Claiborne is your best free agent option, there's nothing there, guys. There's really nothing there.
Well, I think that may be downplaying Adrian's ability, but that's also maybe some personal bias. I didn't want Adrian to leave here. But I've always had I always wanted a lieutenant D-end. Right, yeah. I don't need every DN to be Simeon Rice-like.
Right.
Sometimes I just need my DN to do their fucking job reliably.
Yes.
If you're supposed to set an edge, set an edge. Because if you don't, everything breaks down. We haven't had someone consistently do that since he left.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right. Now, does that mean I think he should go collect big buckets of money and back a Brinks truck up to the house because he had a good season? No, I don't. And I love him, and I hope he gets tons of money. He and his wife should be super happy. I don't know that we have to pay him to do that.
Yeah, and I think Tom made a great point where you don't necessarily have to have the big names. Maybe get some of the younger guys that are coming out that have some potential but maybe have just not gotten there yet, like an Okafor. Scott Reynolds from the Pewter Report had mentioned that Okafor had 5 sacks early in the season before he got hurt. So, you know, I mean, he seemed to have that trajectory to go up. He might be a guy that, you know, they could take a flyer on. He probably won't cost as much money as, you know, a Claiborne or somebody like that. And who knows? Maybe he'll turn out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the difference between those become those sort of subjective things we talked about. They're tough to measure. They're not going to be on the Madden draft card right. That you look at the back. Oh, look, his speed is a 96. I should definitely get him instead of the guy whose speed's a 97. It's way more complicated than that. But and there's a good healthy conversation or chat in the Mixler chat room right now about Griffin from UCF. And a good point Nuck Nuck brought up, which is Mark Cook's cousin who goes to jail all the time. It's not really. Maybe it is. I don't know. Where does he fit, right? Everyone likes the story. The guy is a freakish athlete. His heart's ridiculous. You watch him in big games show up. His motor never stops. But where would he fit in this defense? And that's a good question. Yeah. But special teams depth, I think immediately your special teams gets better with him there. I think that as a leader, at his age even, is amazing. And if 3-4 becomes a real possibility down the road, which it never was last year because we never had continuity of player personnel.
Right.
Right. We can say it was other reasons, but the fact that you had people dropping like flies, it was like a mash unit in one buck in defense, there's no way they could do any of that stuff.
Yeah. And you're right. If 3-4 does become a reality, then that's where he could probably fit in. I don't know if you bump Levante inside or if you have him in the inside, but that would probably be the only scenario that I could see, because who are you going to bump out? Are you going to get rid of Kwan?
Right.
You're not going to waste Kwan on the strong side. I mean, and you got Beckwith there already as well. So, I mean, the Bucks are pretty strong.
They're very strong at linebacker. Yeah. I agree. It's a tough mix, right? And you've also got guys behind Beckwith who are not looking bad either.
Right, yeah.
So it is a tough thing. I think everyone loves the story, local kid. But I think the leadership thing, we talked about the Hardy Nickerson thing. We don't have some of that leadership. It's hard to get a young guy to come in and do that. But I think he's exceptional in a couple ways. Do I think I'm going to pound the table if we don't get him? No. Do I love the story? Yes. Will I follow him with anticipation wherever he goes? Bet your ass I will.
Yeah.
Right?
And I wouldn't be surprised if he does well.
So, all right. Well, listen, I know it's getting late. You've got to get out to, I don't know, Wesley Chapel, which Rick Brown calls Polk County, but it's not. hey, Rick, if you're listening out there. We will be back again. I'm not sure when. I'm traveling to Miami pretty much every week until, I don't know, I'm 78, which is apparently in 2 weeks. But we will have shows again. We're going to have some exciting things, hopefully, on the website as well. Some live events potentially down the road. Please follow on Twitter, at WhatTheBuck. If you are a golfer or interested, have a business, any of those sorts of things, April 21st, we need your help for this golf tournament. WTBReallyMatters.org will redirect you to the site. We're looking for sponsors as low as $250 for a whole sponsor, and you can put something cheeky on there about how cool you are for helping kids with cancer. We totally need that. If you can swing a club, get out there. If you can't swing a club, still get out there. We have dinner party tickets so you can come eat and do the raffles. Or if you just want to donate some cash to it, we definitely could use the help. If you have a famous friend or a rich friend, hit them up. And if we need to guilt them into something, let me know, because I can tell really, really horrible stories. No, that's not true. These kids are amazing. The One Voice kids are amazing. The One Voice team is amazing. The things they do never cease to, I used amaze like six times in the same paragraph. They're pretty awesome. So it's an amazing, God damn it. That's another amazing. What the fuck am I doing? It's like the first time I've been on the microphone. Holy shit. They're really cool. How's that for reminds me of a joke.
It's amazing.
My thesaurus sucks. And also my thesaurus sucks. Yeah. But at any rate, get out there April 21st, WTBReallyMatters.org. If you have any questions, you can hit us up on Twitter. We'll get you the information. There's a bunch of ways you can contribute, participate, et cetera. It doesn't have to be $5,000 out of your pocket. If you have a timeshare you're not using, we can put that into a raffle package. Stuff like that really does matter. I want to thank Jason for coming out here. I want to thank him for the stuff he's done in the past with us, the stuff he's doing in the future with us. Thanks to the whole team at What the Buck and the team at What the Buck Really Matters, you listeners out there, and we will see you guys on Twitter at What the Buck or on Facebook, who knows, at Facebook.com. What the Buck, and then in our new Tinder profile. No, I tease.
Swipe left.
It's
swipe
clearly,
right,
clearly going to be a Pinterest board. So, anyway, we'll catch you guys next time. Go Bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Scoop.
Yeah. Well, like Bugs Bunny, man, I think that's all, folks. My man, Oaks, just shut down another show. Same day, same time for the past 11 years. Guess what? Next week, we gon' be right here. Talking about the Bucks and having a good time. We give it to you straight, no need to be between the lines. The beat drop hard every time I hit the nine. And if you didn't know it, this is Franco on the rhymes. Yeah. 11 years strong, y'all. It's the What the Buck podcast. My man, Derek, they call him Old School. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck. Yeah. It's What the Buck, man. Nothing can stop us, man. It's What the Buck.